Yeah, we're good to go. We're good to make broadcast history.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's cancelled. It's all broken.
Sorry,
bear with me.
Technical difficulties. Right, here we go.
Rose tire. Hey! Gentlemen, over 70 million downloads, and that's from our Dropbox alone. Please welcome the Lash Lads, it's Mark and Ben!
Hooray! Welcome!
Welcome everybody!
We came out in the wrong order there, that's Ben. I mean, you know that, but
this is on the Time Lash Live. Thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, of which there are 20,000 of you.
Four!
And two of you, that was good. Okay, well, sitting down. Well, welcome. So, yes, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is on the Time Lash Live. Give me a cheer if you've listened to us before.
Hey!
And I think we better.
That was a tentative way. I might say from somewhere, as if this is a.
There's a throng. We should probably come with the normal listeners. We should come clean, in that we are in a venue of upwards of 40, and we have. Four. We have four. We have four people, and that's not to denigrate the four beautiful people.
I'm editing this out.
But what I want to say is that I know Stu, I know Lee, I know Ailey, but I don't know you. What is your wonderful name? You're a new, legitimately, we don't know who you are, you're a pal, you're a person who's come along, and you look amazing. I mean, this is audio, so nobody can understand that, but you've come...
Yeah, I'm tall, I'm thin, yeah.
But you've come in as a wonderful Doctor Who-themed dress and accessory, so genuinely, thank you. This is a great moment. This is on the Time Lash Live. You guys understand, you're a new listener, but you listened, you said, we met you outside, that you, in fact, listened to our last episode,
yeah.
So you already understand what we do. We watch an episode of New Who, and then compare it to some classic Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, in this special live extravaganza, what will we be dealing with in episode 61?
We will be doing A Good Man Goes to War, and we are pairing that up with the Caves of Androzani. So two brutal military regimes, a Saturday night on the hottest day of the year. That's entertainment.
And congratulations to England, who have made it to the semi-finals of the World Cup as well. But we're not doing it alone, Mark.
No, we're not.
We have a very, very special guest, legendary status.
He is probably best known as Spike the Talking Cactus from Duffy Park. He's a very good friend.
Mr. Derek Anderson! Mr. Legendary!
I'm here! I've arrived!
That's enough.
Welcome, Derek. Welcome to On the Time Lash Live.
Thank you very much on this. 61 is such a special number, isn't it? So
yeah.
I'm especially delighted to be here tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had our episode 60, and
I wasn't invited. But
it wasn't particularly special.
It was just a house.
Yeah, in any house. Not even my house. It was a house I was staying in, and it was gradually being all the stuff moved out from roundabout. So it was a very bare spot. So we really celebrated.
Yeah.
And then pushed the celebration over to number 61.
Excellent.
You've come all the way down from Aberdeen. Thank you very much for doing that.
Welcome to be here.
Good. Well, moving on. So
that's not the right phrase, is it? Welcome to be here.
Welcome to be here.
I'm delighted to be here.
You are welcome to be here, yeah. But you're delighted.
I was taking on the role of you there, which is weird. I may do that again.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have got loads of booze in front of us. do we want to... No,
well,
that's...
Well, we'll come to that as we do. You got the fucking format wrong.
I'm nervous!
You had a list of things you had to go through one by one, and if we veered from the format...
That is completely misrepresentative of the meetings that we had earlier today. But it is indeed for regular listeners and for new listeners. It is time for the fortnight in Doctor Who. Can I have a round of applause? So what's been happening in your audience, what's been happening in your bloody fortnight of Doctor Who? I want to talk about the leak. Did anyone watch the leak? The leaked footage?
Yeah.
Did you look at it?
Did you look at it.
Did you watch it?
I caved, yeah.
Okay, you didn't.
I saw Ian Levine freaking out about it on
Twitter. Worse than the Twin Dilemma, apparently. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
And we should also note as well that the fourth member of the audience, Ailey, is just a friend who's come to support us.
It's not just about.
But her eyes suggest that she's made a terrible mistake.
I'm just saying it's a lot of safe here,
That is a relatively cool place.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, the temperature. Right, okay.
Yeah. What? Not the panel.
Yeah, so not this. Never this.
I'm really happy to be here, though, for the record.
Good.
So, I don't know, do we want to talk about the leak?
Well, I didn't watch it.
Neither did I.
Okay, so, no.
What did you guys,
For Ailey, which is you are a great way in for the audience. So for anyone who's never,
she's like the Doctor Who companions of, you know.
I'm Catherine. What?
Don't you know? I wouldn't, you know.
So
pitch a bit lower.
I'm
sure this is going to be a hell for Mark to edit.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
We've had a leak from Doctor Who, a clip from the first episode of Jodie Whittaker's new series has been leaked by BBC Canada or something like that.
I don't know, they've gone to the High Court.
Yes,
no, wait, the Supreme Court in America.
Yeah. Do you know if it was the immediate clip, like the first that will be broadcast in the episode?
So I've seen it, and we had a discussion about this the other day, is that it looks like the clip that you pluck out, like the nondescript bit of thing you pluck out to put on TV review shows.
Right.
To show a flavour and not necessarily give everything away. It's like 50 seconds, and what did we learn? We get the same old shit that we get in every Regeneration episode of just gobbledygook. So that's without giving any... And honestly, if we talked about it, can we? No, because there might be listeners...
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah, that's always fucking
people. Let's play nice.
But I guess the thing that we can talk about for now, Doctor Who, is Doctor Who's got a new composer. Anyone into that?
Yeah.
Yes!
I'm literally trying to pronounce his name.
Segun Akinola, thank you very much.
Branding. So racist, Mark.
That was racist, Mark.
You're so racist, I knew that about you.
And it's fitting because you're sitting there in a garish Hawaiian shirt.
I am. Well, it's, you know, we're doing the light entertainment version of On the Time Lash, so I've decided to pay tribute to Doctor Who's doyen of light entertainment, John Nathan Turner. Who would not be interested in the hula girls that are on the shirt, but might be slightly more interested in the topless Polynesian surfers at the bottom of the shirt. And maybe even the bottom.
I think I can see John Nathan Turner hiding behind that rock, looking at it. Furiously masturbating.
Now, this is obviously an audio medium, but the beautiful thing is our...
rest his soul.
A friendly is taking pictures, which all listeners will get. And what we will do is take a picture of Mark and then take closer pictures of each of the figures on Mark. So it's going to be quite the Facebook album, everybody.
You've been drowned it with the laughter, Ben. Let the laughter flow.
I myself have the only Doctor Who t-shirt that was clean. is a Christmas themed one with the base of the Dalek is a Christmas tree and the Dalek is saying decorate. So what have you come as
I think for the hottest day of the year so far?
Yes,
I've come as like an England supporting thug because I have to get from here back to the hostel that I'm staying in and I want that to be as uneventful as possible. So, I'm one of them boys.
Doctor Who didn't. We didn't know Doctor Who had casuals, but it does. So there we are. That is I guess on the fortnight in Who I have circled Derek's story. So guess we'll pursue that. That's
well, it's not the funniest story. In fact, it's not a tragic story. But because I knew I was doing this, I watched The Good Man Goes to War and The Caves of Androzani, and I asked myself the question, oh, you love Doctor Who, don't you? How much Doctor Who do you actually watch? And the answer was none. I don't watch any Doctor Who. I never choose to watch Doctor Who. I listen to Doctor Who and I read about Doctor Who, but actually to sit and choose an episode. And it was especially prevalent with A Good Man Goes to War, because the BBC have now released the complete new Who, if you want to call it that, on iPlayer. So the choice was there. It was in front of me in little windows. You know, I could choose any episode. I thought, nah. I can't bother. Because I've seen them. So maybe they're only worth two watches at most. And then, I mean, A Good Man Goes to War is a good example because there are things that happen in it that are a big deal in Doctor Who, the whole story arc. But if you know them, you know them. So not so good. But The Caves of Androzani, however, made me rethink Peter Davison's Doctor. So I'm going to watch all of his stories. So I am now going to start watching Doctor Who again.
That's a teaser for hour four of the podcast.
Well, let's put that. That's an interesting. Let's put that out. You guys are kind of. Well, okay. Again, not Ailey. She's.
When was the last time you watched Doctor Who?
Yeah, when was
2006?
The last time you watched Doctor Who?
About 2006.
Yeah. Heathen. Says the guy who never watches Doctor Who.
Which is fine.
But yeah, you guys. I mean, how often do you actually sit down to consume, as recreation, Doctor Who?
I've been watching Twitch
for the last...
Oh, I haven't watched
that. There you go, Ben.
Well.
Perfect.
Thank you. Well, so, Lee, what about you, Lee?
On a weekly basis, maybe. Once, twice a week, maybe.
Okay.
Would that be New Who or Old Who? Or
all of it.
Older.
Slightly unusual, but I watched the whole of Ambassadors of Death, and I was not paying attention by the end of it. I was quite drunk.
Guys, for the first time on the Time Lash, somebody has raised their hand to ask a question. The floor is yours. Sorry, what is your name? Is it Sarah?
Susan.
What?
There's only four of them!
It's because there's too much choice. It's not just do I watch this episode or not. It's which episode do you want to watch out of the 50 years you've got of episodes to choose from?
And do you like all the Doctors pretty much?
Yes.
So you've got a massive choice.
So you must first choose which Doctor do you want to watch that evening. Yeah. Then you choose which episode. Quite frankly, your viewing time is over by the time you've made the decision.
So I absolutely get that. I've been kind of incapacitated with choice before, and I think that's why I have enjoyed as a recent convert to Twitch. Watching that, I got to watch State of Decay on a bus yesterday. So
it's good when you can just tune into Doctor Who, like just us going to the shops. Yeah.
I could stare at everyone else and hate everyone else on this bus, or I could watch State of Decay and watch a stream of people going salami sandwich, salami sandwich, which is the new London 1960s.
Yeah, for Derek, who doesn't use Twitch. Basically, what seems to be happening with each era is that the fans on Twitch will pick out like a phrase from one of the trailers.
Okay.
And we'll just kind of repeat that ad nauseum throughout the...
Okay.
So salami
that
sandwich
sounds,
is the...
incredibly thrilling.
Yeah. So it's from... Is it Image of a Fendal?
Is it Image of
no,
a Fendal?
No, it's Mask of Mandragora.
Is it Mask of Mandragora?
Oh,
sorry. Well, I've given up chairmanship of On the Time Lash. And there's a bit where he pretends...
chairmanship?
In a chair. And I'm...
Nice. That's where we get that.
But they take the clip where he's proven to Sarah that he was putting on the voice of the High Priest.
Okay.
And so he slowly says, I wouldn't even say no to a salami sandwich.
Did you know him?
And that is now all the young people can talk about, salami sandwiches.
Okay. Excellent.
Well,
good. This is something.
Thanks for coming, everybody. That is.
Something else happened in the last week. I had to get here by bus, and from the library in Aberdeen, I got an audiobook version of The Abominable Snowman.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting, and I was starting to think, oh yeah, I wish that existed, you know, because I would definitely sit down and watch that as soon as I could, because it has my favourite two-line piece of dialogue in the whole of Doctor Who. They're the Himalayas, Jamie. The Himalayas? Perfection. That's Doctor Who perfection in my eyes.
Well, okay, so that's our fortnight in Doctor Who. Round of applause! There you go. So, So yes, so as Mark said, it is in our new Who Watch Through, we are at A Good Man Goes to War. Here we are, and we start off with the stats of A Good Man Goes to War. Would you care?
A Good Man Goes to War, written by Stephen Moffat and directed by Peter Hora, was broadcast on June the 4th, 2011, and had an overall rating of 7.57 million viewers.
So, Mark, what time is it?
Well, Derek, it's time for... Gexy's Where Does It Come Game!
Hooray!
Hooray for that!
So, Dexys, Where Does It Come Game? This is the first 5 decades poll as voted by you! Where did A Good Man Goes to War come in the first 5 decades poll?
You're asking me first?
Would you like to go first, Derek?
Well, he knows what I've said, so we'll do that way around then. Okay, I wasn't sure. I never am with this game, it's so difficult. But I've went for around 50.
Around 50. What, Mark, do you think?
I think it's lower, because it's a bit ramshackle, it's a bit of a mess. Because it's obviously being voted after the whole story rounds itself out, people might feel it's disappointing. I'll go for 120.
Ooh, 20!
Well, why don't we ask the audience what they think?
Audience! How well regarded do you think A Good Man Goes to War is? And you can have a prize if you get it correct. I don't know what that prize is yet.
What did you say, Mark?
120.
Okay.
Stu, what do you reckon?
65.
Haley?
I know, 241, dear.
Okay, I'd go for
190. 190?
Oh my goodness.
He hates it!
She hasn't even seen it, so.
I haven't seen it.
That's not good.
Susan, what do you reckon?
I think it's a good episode. I think I'm going to go 42.
42. Lee?
171.
171. Oh my god. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek's given a score there. It is in fact 88.
What? 88.
It is between 87, The Abominable Snowman, and 89, Tooth and Claw. So there we go.
What is 120 minus 88?
Loads.
I tell you what.
I think Stu's closest was 65.
That would end in a 2, and that would end in a 3. Stu them up!
You Stu them up! What did you win? You can have whatever drink is left on the table at the end of this recording. So there we are.
Speaking of drinks. Absolutely not.
Speaking of drinks, what are we all having?
So, I don't have a gag for mine, I just want to get tanked tonight. So I've got a cider, a red wine and a Jack and Coke. That's what I'm going to be working through, listeners, as we record this episode.
Ben Firth goes to war. Sobriety.
Yeah. A man good wars to go. Yes. What about you?
Well, I'm slightly disappointed with that, Ben. There's no real effort has gone into that, is it?
Never. He's the one who comes up with the gags.
Well, I've went for some red wine, simply because it's a good man. I never said it was funny.
Well, see, I've gone for 2 drinks for this. First of all, I've gone for... they had Buckfast on the bar. So I asked, oh, do you just do that shot? I said, no, we only do it as a Bucky Bomb.
Oh,
so I'm just about to do a Bucky Bomb.
Congratulations, man. Go for it. Go
late,
for it.
But first of all, before I do this, obviously, it's made by monks and it gets you off your head. In tribute to the headless monks from A Good Man Goes to War.
Hey, at least some effort's gone into that.
Oh, I'm holding some. And my second drink.
No.
Yes!
It's a cocktail from the bar. We're in the Banshee Labyrinth in Edinburgh. It's a cocktail from the bar called The Hulk. Ask me why The Hulk.
Why The Hulk?
Because much like the 11th Doctor, you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Gee, I was just nine.
God, it's got it's got like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, what's the word, milk does?
Yeah.
What is it? Can I taste?
It's like absinthe and Meduri and no. orange juice and a layer of water
not
on top.
Piss. Oh, Meduri, not in piss.
Better than you think.
What is that?
Right, let's crack.
That's right, listeners. The Banshee Labyrinth in Edinburgh for all your going out needs.
Tasty coffee.
So here we are. A good man goes to war. Usually at this point we have listener correspondence, but we decided we would kind of.
Yeah, we thought some listeners would turn up, and they have. Thank you for turning up. But I think we should crack it on because it's. You know, we've got a time limit, haven't we?
Yes, we do. We've got
so,
we've got 45
right.
minutes left.
No, okay. No, it's 8 o'clock.
Is it?
It's all right, it's fine.
Yes, okay.
No, we've got an hour.
Good. Okay.
Ish.
Well, the pub quiz starts at 9 o'clock.
You don't. Does it?
Well, stop waffling on about how little time
so,
we've got.
So, we've set an alarm clock. It's going to go off in roughly half an hour. That should give us
and then something really
then
special.
Then something
again.
Really needs to happen. Right, Good Man Goes to War, crack on.
Did you like it, Mark?
Do you know what? I remember being really excited when I first went out to watch it and sit down. And I think it's like Derek said at the start of the show, I think when you go back to it and all the secrets are revealed, there's not much rewatch value in it.
I completely agree. And also I watched it in a different way from you guys because you've been watching every episode up until this point.
Yeah.
But I watched it as one kind of standalone episode. But I'd remembered seeing it, and so the big thrilling reveals in it, I was just like, well, I know that's going to happen, So did kind of spoil that a bit.
So do you think we made the mistake by just having this as one episode? Is it a two-parter?
No,
is this the first of a two-parter?
I don't think it is, though. We'll figure that out the next episode, but
yeah.
I don't... Because if I remember right, I haven't watched Let's Kill Hitler for ages, but if I remember right, it's just another story.
I think so. I don't think it's a two-parter at all, no.
It's just, it's that kind of, like, mid-season cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And then you just pick up with a different story that kind of takes the story off in a... Which has always been Stephen Moffat's approach to two-parters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you set things up and then you go in a different direction.
So, Kate, wasn't there? Did you like it?
No.
No.
Games of Androzani.
Okay.
Did I like it? Not really. Didn't encourage me to watch any other Matt Smith episodes.
Yeah. Or even the very next episode.
Or even the very next episode. Because, I think if you've seen an episode twice, that's pretty much it. I don't see any reason to go back to it. Whereas classic Doctor Who has a lot of nostalgia for me, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely remember John Pertwee changing into Tom Baker and just being mind-blowing,
yeah.
You know, and then having to wait to see this new guy play the part.
Yeah.
There were bits in it I liked. Certain bits in it I liked.
Okay, well, so I think we're all on the same page, is that it is kind of half good, half bad.
I wouldn't say half and half.
Oh, is it not? Okay.
No.
Okay. I think I've just tried to plumb for, let's focus on the positives. Before I fucking get stuck into how shit it is.
Right, okay.
Am I really? I mean, what does everyone else think? We should probably listen.
I don't know, we're running out of time.
Well, even the parts that could have been good,
yeah.
That weren't good, like the Cyberman bit. What annoyed me particularly was I was delighted to see them again, you know, but I didn't really buy into the warrior Rory character.
Why is he dressed as a Roman?
I don't know.
In the last episode, he finds that his wife is actually not been his wife for ages.
Yeah.
He's going to go off, but he stops to get changed into an absurd party costume.
Maybe it's a Rodney Cassandra thing going on,
So I can understand for, like, us
Thanks
as an
late.
Audience. Like, for us as an audience, we go, okay, I get it. He's you know, he's back to being that kind of that warrior that protects and looks over any. The Cybermen have no idea what a fucking Roman soldier is. It's like, it's
no, they do. They were at Stonehenge as well.
Yeah, but not those Cybermen. That's, you know.
There's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah,
why didn't they just shoot him? You know,
yeah.
I didn't think that he was action man enough to take on the role. I don't want to slag off the actor, but I just didn't buy it. And then, whoa, what a surprise. It was Nicholas Briggs that were doing the voice of the Cybermen. And I'm just, you know, and that really put me off. I couldn't enjoy the scene because I thought, give somebody else a go! Why don't you, you know, just give someone a chance to voice the monsters. And because I picked up on Nicholas Briggs' voice, because I do listen to Big Finish, I thought, oh, it's put me off a little bit. You know, it's taken me out of the scene because I didn't know Sam.
That's why I like you, Derek, because you bring your socialist politics into even your fandom.
Right on, brothers and sisters, right on. Comrades.
I don't know. So there are a number of great things in this episode, but it is outweighed by, and I said this earlier on, it's just some of the language, some of the dialogue is just so hokey. It's so, it's just, like the battle of Demon's Run, calling it that. Like, no, it isn't. You're having a fight in a warehouse, and you've got Beowulf over the top of it. Can we just get a bit of perspective?
I thought the battle sequence was awful.
Yeah.
I thought it didn't look like a battle at all.
No, it looked like they had maybe four extras running
exactly.
around.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
It was really cheap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they spent all the money on the start of it, where they're gathering all the ex-friends of the Doctor.
Yeah.
That was quite a nice sequence
with
lots of different locations and stuff. My favourite part of the episode is part of that.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to just trickle into domesticity and I wasn't that really interested in.
Yeah, like there is definitely this kind of weird thing where there is such great character building and such terrible world building.
Yeah.
Then I think the character building is kind of undone quite a lot as well. I think it's so glib. Like, so, you know, one of the most horrendous scenes in this, and in Doctor Who I think in general, is when Amy thinks her baby is her baby.
Yeah.
And it just turns into like a puddle of goop.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like screaming and screeching. And then like the Doctor's just like, it's fine, I'm gonna go find your baby, see you later.
Yeah.
It doesn't. He's like, and he's sort of fanning around with River Song and making jokes about kissing, and it's tonally all over the place.
I didn't really like the Doctor, I must admit. Mm.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Right.
Or at least not for the
young soldier who was dying to meet the Doctor, so she joined the army because she thought that was the best way to do it, dies.
Lorna Bucket, played by Christina Chong.
Thank you very much. He's not dismissive, but he's quite quick just to move on to his pals.
Ben's just changing his drinks around.
One of my favourite, or we do favourite scenes as a separate thing, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll do it later.
Well, this is live. Anything good happen? Let's do it now. What's your favourite scene, Derek?
The Strax nurse scene.
It's spectacular.
I love it. My favourite shot in New Doctor Who is the shot of Strax walking up to the TARDIS. I think it's like an oil painting. I love it.
So you're right about that, because when I was watching it, there's obviously a lot of stuff about being in prosthetics. Doesn't make your expressions particularly mobile. Dan Starkey does some brilliant face work.
He's funny. He's very funny.
When he realises the TARDIS and that maybe he's going to get to be a warrior again. Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
This is the first time that you meet Jenny and Vastra and Strax. Like, it didn't feel that way. I have to keep reminding myself this is the first time. Like, it felt like they all showed up fully formed.
Oh, I didn't know that watching it, because I hadn't watched episodes before.
Yeah,
so
no,
this is
the first time, and they all show up fully formed. This is what I'm talking about.
I don't understand that, because I thought he was recruiting his friends to help her.
But you've never seen these friends before.
But we get the pirate that we've seen before.
Yes, and Danny Boy from Victory of the Daleks.
Yeah.
But Jenny, Vastra Strax, what's his name, Maldivar.
We've seen Dorian Maldivar before. Right?
No, I've not.
So this is before the snow.
It's set in series 5, isn't it?
No. What do you mean?
I swear he shows up in series 5.
As what?
Like River Song puts a bomb in his drink or something.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, Susan knows. Susan knows.
Yes. Okay, but you don't get a sense that he's the Doctor's pal.
Yeah, true. You don't get a sense he's meant to be.
And anyway, so Vastra, Jenny Strax, this is the first time you see them.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, and it's brilliant performances from all three. You can entirely, and according to the commentary I was listening to, they were designed, maybe a bit of extra work had always been put in, because they were designed to come back after this.
Okay. Now you've just given me information I really didn't know. I didn't know it was the first time.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like, oh, it's those guys.
Yeah.
He's collecting them.
Yeah, sure.
But we as an audience didn't know that, and the producers, it might have been planned or not.
Yeah.
So
Niamh McIntosh said that when she got the script, she also got the contract saying it would be more than one episode, more than one appearance.
Right.
But did they show up again in this series?
Do they? No, not in this series.
I think
they're in the Snowmen and they're in the Crimson Horror.
Yeah, so they're actually only in four actual episodes. Because then also Peter Capaldi's first story, and then that's the last we saw.
Yeah, so they are.
But yeah, no, like it's absolutely great. So they're definitely one of the successes. If we're talking about favourite scenes, my favourite scene is the Colonel Runaway scene.
You like that one?
Yeah. I love the Colonel Runaway scene, and then I also love when Kavarian comes in and they have a talk about good men and their rules.
Mm.
Like, I love that. That is great acting, that is great drama, it's great writing. And then it just gets fucked into the bin
with.
So the opening with Amy is excruciating, like doing this kind of like, oh yeah, like, oh, I think we're talking about the doctor, and it's, no, it's your dad's coming for you. Then the ending with River, I genuinely have written it down here, is that this has some great moments, but the most part this is actually vaguely embarrassing American daytime soap opera tripe,
I mean, I'm assuming all the listeners will know what happens at the end of A Good Man Goes to War.
Yes,
it's revealed that Melody Pond is actually River Song.
Yeah.
Now, I never guessed that. Did you guess that?
Because I remember reading.
I don't try and look ahead.
I didn't try to. I just read an article in Doctor Who magazine, I think, like a week or two before that episode, and they sort of mentioned that she was called Melody Pond. I was like, well, there you go.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, body of water, musical thing. You know.
I was more like, what is that? Yeah. I do have my glasses, you're like.
I think I didn't.
That was funnier than I thought. I thought, never mind.
I just
have my glasses.
I think I just kind of like, it seemed. So I think there's a larger issue. It was.
Sorry, chairman.
Yes, sir. He's a wonderful chairman. He's a
wonderful chairman. What's that? 54 years now.
I'm just trying to work out is this, because it seems like a mess, and is this like a hastily written mess because this was a problematic season to make? This is the first time that we've got a mid-season break over the course of the summer.
Mm.
And is this so you set up a cliffhanger? Which is, we're going to go looking for Amy and Rory's baby.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then we've also got to give it that kind of, as Russell T. Davis and Stephen Moffat both agreed, they didn't really like the way that Star Trek cliffhangers would be, or X-Files cliffhangers, which is that you'd have a cliffhanger between seasons. Is this a way of going, but we need to give them a happy ending, so everything's fine, it's River Song, that's who the baby is.
Yes.
Baby's fine.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of pick up later on with the mechanics of that, but you can still have your cake and eat it.
Yeah, I think so.
But the problem for me with that, it goes back to what you were kind of saying about the Colonel Runaway scene and the good men and the rules. And it's basically this story is about, you know, Doctor Who from like 2005 to 2011. And it's all about him as this legendary figure who, you know, stands up to armies and, you know, this kind of hero of the Time War and all this myth around him, and he's starting to kind of believe that his own myth, you know. So it's, you know, it's about bringing him back down to earth and go, well, look, you're putting your friends in danger.
That's fine
if you're going to pay that off, and because you know that whole speech River Song has is presumably setting up this kind of, okay, maybe I should go back to just being this kind of bumbling adventurer that kind of makes, you know, helps out where I can.
Mm-hmm.
You never get any of that. He just kind of has a few jokes and gets in the TARDIS. Says, "Oh yeah, I'll find your baby. It's all okay."
Yeah. And the whole kissy thing, yeah. I didn't really like, and there was, you know, there wasn't enough in it for me to say, "Wow," you know.
Yeah.
Nothing like that, you know.
Mm.
I just thought when I watched it just wasn't for me. It was for a different Doctor Who fan, and if they loved it, they loved it. Brilliant.
Now, on that subject.
It's time for
not yet. Not yet. But it will be soon.
Yeah, it better be soon.
Yeah, no,
quiz starts in 5 minutes. Not my one.
Is there a sense in this that it's a child playing with their toys, right? So you've got that scene in The Five Doctors of Stephen Moffat playing with Matt Smith and David Tennant action figure.
Definitely is that sense.
This has the Silurians, the Cybermen, the Suntarans, it's got a pirate, it's got some Spitfires, it's got some soldiers.
Yeah.
It's like, there's very much the sense of just a child.
So yeah, I think there's a certain element where it tries to replicate Journey's End, you know, stole it out.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but that was earned. That was absolutely earned, because it was not just the people within the main body of Doctor Who, there was also the spin-offs that were successful at the time. This just seems kind of loaded. And it's weird that that Doctor would just utilise the people that he's encountered within that lifetime, rather than everybody. Or gather together a bunch of other Doctors.
They all owe him a favour, so that's the thing behind it, isn't it? Oh, we all owe the Doctor a favour, so we better go and help him now, when we're needed.
Yeah, but it seems a bit odd and maybe quite crass that he's asking them to go into a situation where they might die.
Yeah.
Seems very
undoctored. And also, it's kind of, you know, how does he know? Like, there seems to just be like a couple of episodes missing between the end of The Almost People and the start of A Good Man Goes to War.
Yeah.
It's like he just knows that there's like a massive army in this warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to need some help.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the Doctor's the sort of person that could quite easily probably just turn up by himself, save his companion. Certainly, the Doctor of the new series. I think that's story writing, isn't it? He blew up an entire Cyber Legion.
Yes. He did something where he blew up a shit ton of cyber ships.
Without being detected.
Yeah. Like, just wonder, like, just everything. And then suddenly he needs, like, a fat guy and, like, a guy dressed in a party costume and, like, just to
a lesbian
help him.
Lizard.
Yeah, and just, like, from the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Because their perspective, surely, is that they only have the perspective of their original Silurian upbringing and Victorian England. But, here's the future, go and kill some shit.
There are some good gags in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the lesbian tongue gag was quite funny.
It's,
Strax is pretty good. Yeah. Well, no, Strax is excellent. Yeah. He's very, very funny. And it worried me that, you know, they'd made the Santarans, or the Sauntarans, if you want to be very direct, folks, funny.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
It takes away, they're monsters and they should be dangerous. And they're excellent monsters, Robert Holmes, you know.
Yeah.
I just love Strax. He's definitely my favourite character.
Oh, when he's nursing the kid. It's hilarious.
And telling him like Tates and stuff.
Yeah.
No way.
Okay, well, what's your favourite performance?
My favourite performance, my favourite performance, his goodness. Probably Dan Starkey.
Yeah.
Just actually that whole trio. Dan Starkey, Neve McIntosh, and
it is Neve McIntosh. I love the scene where she's trying Caitlin Stewart. Where she is trying to get the Doctor to really think about how would they have conceived this child? Is it on the TARDIS?
That's a hell of a payoff of a joke.
I'm not a big fan of the new Silurians anyway. What I would have loved, you know, when the Silurian army come in with their masks on, just one old style. Hello. That'd be great. I'd love that. But my favourite is Dan Starkey as well. I thought he was excellent in it. Really made the episode for me.
Okay, so that is A Good Man Goes to War. Usually we have 3.5 hours getting pissed in a house.
But we're trying to be more disciplined.
We've got a special treat for you, because before we move on to start talking about The Caves of Androzani, which is the classic Doctor Who that we've paired up this new Who with, Derek is I'll let the jingle speak for itself.
Dexy's Word of the Cum Game. Come on, everyone.
Yay! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. What a delight to be here and see you all. See you all here. Brilliant. Right. Everyone here has volunteered to be part of Dexy's Where Did It Come Game. So do we have time for audience participation?
We sure do, mate.
Oh, good. I've numbered each contestant. So, okay. Mark, pick a number between 1 and 4, and that shall be your helper and friend.
Number 2.
2 is Susan! Then you come to the stage!
You've got the stage.
To the front of the room!
The lower platform.
Excellent. You've got a seat.
Come on, Susan.
Got a seat.
And Ben, what number between 1 and 4 apart from 2?
4.
Number 4 is Ailey Barnes!
Here you come! Oh, thanks, mate!
Well, on the plus side, Ben and I have been talking for ages about how we should have a female guest on the show. Yeah. We've got two!
You take a seat.
Okay, we don't have loads of time, but there are meant to be five rounds to this, so we'll see.
So we do music rounds, or...?
We'll do Dexys Where They Come Game and the music round, and that'll be it.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
So it's time for...
Oh, fuck. I wasn't expecting the second jingle, I'm sorry.
So it's time for...
Dexys Where Does It Come Game!
Okay, this is a version of Dexys Where It Come Game with a difference. What time is it?
Dexys Where Does It Come Game!
In my mind, it's always that time, so you've been guessing the number of stories in the first five decades poll.
Yes.
These stories go back to the mighty 200 poll of 2009. So a different poll. But, you know, use your minds, you know, mind meld, if you will, although that's a different programme, I believe. But,
you can fair, that's a
but you can pick a number between 1 and 10, and that will represent the Doctor story that you'll be trying to guess, okay? So, we'll do one each, will we?
Good. Yeah.
Okay, so, Mark, a number between 1 and 10, please.
3.
Number 3? It's the Third Doctor, John Pertwee, and your story is The Sea Devil. So confer with your partner, Susan.
It's a good one.
It is good, but good. John Pertwee, as Derek and I discussed yesterday, John Pertwee never does well in these polls. Do you remember what it's out of?
It's 200.
It's 200. I was too busy.
It's everything between an under-earth child and the planet of the dead.
Let's go... Top 50, so like 50... No, wait, that's not the top
50. No, it's not
going to
be top 50.
Do you think?
Don't think.
Lower?
I think lower. Between 50 and 100, maybe.
Well, that's a big... Let's go 67.
Yeah.
Happy with that, 67, Susan?
Yep.
Ailey and Ben, what do you think? The Sea Devil.
That's a hard one. We've never done talking about that, have we ever?
Oh, yeah. I'll take your lead.
Okay, thanks. How about, I'm going to go 116.
Ooh, 116. It is the first point to Mark and Susan, because it comes in at number 50. A nice round. Oh, what does that
mean? Well, we should have really stopped talking about A Good Man Goes to War by now.
We have.
Right, great.
So technically.
So I'll just make a score, so it's a point, and E and B, no points. But you get to pick a Doctor, Ben.
Oh my god. Okay, so you are what? Kind of modern Doctor Who?
Tennant.
So number 10.
Number 10, your story is Smith and Jones. Where did that come in? The mighty 200 ball! Smith and Jones, you remember that one?
If you can just summarise the plot.
Rhinos on the moon.
Rhinos on the moon.
It's a good summary.
First one with Martha. Martha's hospital goes to the moon.
Alright, okay.
How about what do you reckon? Let's go with 90.
You're going with 90? We're going with 90, okay, guys?
Oh yeah, we have. I really like it.
It was quite new at the time, so that means it's higher.
But maybe not much higher.
Yeah.
70?
Yeah.
70? Happy, 70, 1970?
Yeah.
It's yet another point for Mark and Susan. It came in at number 66. 66. Okay. I need to find my score page, which I thought I lost 2 points to Mark. I could have worked it in my head. Susan, what number between 1 and 10, i.e. Doctor, would you like to choose?
Go with number 9.
Number 9? Ooh, the worst of them all. Okay. Sorry, Christopher, if you're listening. Your story is Boomtown.
It's pretty badly regarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set of 200. 190.
No, it's not that badly regarded.
I think it might be. What would you say?
121.
All right. It's your turn. We'll go with you. 120.
Yeah. Right.
121.
Yes.
121. You go for. Okay.
Let's go with that.
Guys.
Tense and it's exciting.
I'll be on TV, won't
we?
110.
I didn't see any. What did you say? 110.
Yes.
What are we doing? Boomtown. Again, it's another point for Marcus. It's 141. It came out. 141. I think the book might be going. Susan's waiting to it. And I'm going to sign it, so you can't sell it. Well done. Okay, number please.
No, you didn't. Six.
Okay, I'm going for the two doctors.
Oh. Oh. 112,
you say? Okay.
Sorry.
No, two doctors.
Yeah.
I have no input.
112. I should have picked one of the other ones.
I think you should have.
He picked you.
Well,
because I thought I was going to get Stu. The number four, he's obviously number four.
There's lots of folk coming in all of a sudden.
Yes, I'm Teresa. Welcome.
What have I got to do?
I think Lore.
Lore, then, yeah.
What
they went 112 for the two doctors.
Oh, I think two doctors is lower than that.
160?
Okay, that's good.
Or do you want to go slightly higher?
160
is fine.
Alright, okay.
This is not date night, is this? We're
in the
come game!
I wasn't quick enough.
Oh, fair enough. Are you going for 160?
I'm going for
160. Oh, the first point to Elliot and Margaret came in.
Anyway, Ben, let's have
Ben. Sorry, Ben.
It got a bit confusing, the order you came in, so.
125.
Yes!
So you were 112, you were 160, so that's the end of that then. We'll do a quick round of the second round, which is the worst round. I'm sorry, this is a terrible game, but we'll be very, very quick. It's called A Stab in the Dark Dimension, right? I got the book.
It's a good name, though. It's the worst round.
I think the scariest you're all that mind, but you know, I'm not. So I got the book 100 Scariest Monsters from the library because I thought, brilliant, you know, this will be perfect. Least scary to the most scary. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Alphabetical order? No, it's in no order at all. So basically, I'm going to name a monster, and you're going to pick a number, right? And you could win a point. How exciting! We'll start. It is! We'll start. We're going to miss out the big finish round. Fuck that. Right.
Definitely.
I know, exactly. Okay, I'm trying to find the score now. Somebody else should have been the scorer. Jesus Christ. Okay.
It's 3-2, isn't it? 3-1, sorry.
3-1. It was 3-1. Yeah. Keep it in your head, Mark. 3-1. All right, okay, fine.
I've got to keep the scores. So
the book 100 Scariest Monsters,
yes.
Which is in no order at all. Okay. Where do you think the Ice Warriors came?
They're probably like mid. Well. Because I don't know how this is. I don't know how the book is. Is it
going to
be like, you know,
small.
The top
notes? No order whatsoever. Stab in the Dark Dimension. A complete stab in the Dark Dimension.
37.
44. We've already had an answer for you. 44. You didn't confirm with Ben either.
No, it's retribution.
Yeah, retribution. What did you go for?
37.
37. Well, she did well because they actually came in 85. 85. So it's 3-2. Excellent. And your monster is. The Silence!
What
the hell?
12.
The sight. What? Oh. The big alien, the traditional alien looking things that you forget once you've not
once
seen.
Once you've
them.
Met
just clearly
yeah, right. So much. Once you've done this quiz.
Yeah.
So where did the silence come in? The 100 Scariest Monsters?
12.
12, you say? Martin Susan.
See, it depends on the book was published. I'm going to go maybe.
I think it was 2012 because that was the first library stamp.
Okay, so let's go. 7.
7?
It's
going to
be high.
Amazing!
I think it might be near the
but they're in no order at all!
I know,
but
I'm
answer!
Well,
you
get the point, I'm giving it number 2!
Oh.
So, there you go. So that's 4-2.
See, this has got a cutting room.
Oh, sorry, Brad. Right. We're not doing the big finish, so it's Dexy's music round!
We have 20 minutes left. So, ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Susan and Amy.
You want a book, so you can pick a book.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can I go and get a beer, or is it?
Let's go
with the officers. Go get a bit. Okay, Caves of Androzani, that's where we are now. Round of applause for Degsy and Degsy's. Music's fucked.
Start that again.
Start that again.
Right. Round of applause for
Degsy's Where the Gum Game!
Thank you.
So. We're now moving on to...
I spent hours writing that, and we've used about fucking 15th of it at the most.
Well, sorry. We've got them up. There we are. We've got the stats for the Caves of Androzani. Would you care to read them out?
Sure.
The Caves of Androzani... Well, we'd rather have a round of music. This is music round.
Exactly.
Like John Barrowman and everything. I love John Barrowman.
The Caves. Every time we The Caves of Androzani by Robert Holmes, directed by Graham Park.
Sorry, I had a mouthful of beer.
Killed him.
I'll bear that in mind the next time I try and tell a funny.
Directed by Graham Harper, was broadcast between March the 8th. Ben's big head's in the way.
Big head.
Between March the 8th.
I can smell a re-record.
With an average rating of 7.28 million, with the highest being 7.8 for the last two episodes and 6.6 for episode two. But... fucking hell, I've got to do the thing again.
I think we understand what this is. So, ladies and gentlemen... Well, okay, so...
See, where did it come, game?
Doesn't sound so eager this time, does it?
Okay.
Yes.
Caves of Androzani.
Well, the Caves of Androzani, before we start, can I just say that I was out with my friend Ross the other night, and Jamie and Laura, and we were talking about doing this, you know, on the time lapse.
Because all your friends are from, like, a school exam
paper. No, we talked about it. And at one point, Ross said, oh, let me guess the top five. And I was like, I don't know the top five. And he goes, well, I know that Caves of Androzani comes in quite high. What? And it just passed. Jamie was there. He's a big fan. He loves the show. He called it the Caves of Androzani, right? And then
fucking kicked his head.
Well, no, because he just started guessing more. So he went for Terror of the Zygoons next, and you know, and so it was just passed over.
The
so
ambassador of Duh.
Exactly. So I'm just going to have to ask him, why did you say that? So I invite him back and I'll explain it. Well, I thought it came in at number two because it did.
I think it's number three.
Darn it!
God almighty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you both... new arrivals, Des and Teresa, welcome.
No, I've got enough time to play the music round, but I've got enough time to have more audience members in conversation.
Yes! Where do you think the Caves of Androzani came in the mighty, the first 5 decades poll?
Can we confer or just shout at a random number?
At this stage, we've got like 4 minutes to talk about everything. So
I'm going to go 5 to 9, what's wrong with you?
I'm going to be getting out to set for a fucking pub quiz to 9 people.
I'm going to say 9.
Okay, you fucked it, mate. Stuart.
In the previous one, it was number one.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say 3 as well. But
okay. Yeah. Susan, mate.
9.
What is going on?
It's 4! It's 4!
We both got it wrong!
Everybody fucked it!
You don't want another
you threw off the crowd by asking us, Ben!
It's not even the best classic Doctor Who anymore.
Well, that's good, because it's not the best classic Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about.
Day of the Doctor is number 1.
I knew that.
Blink is number 2. Genesis of the Daleks is number 3.
Can't argue.
Caves of Androzani is number 4. And City of Death is number 5.
Do you mean City of Death?
No, I think it's
we got a throwback.
No, it's actually
it was good.
Thank you.
Of death. So there we are. Well, that
but
was
is
chaos.
It in the 20-ish minutes that we have left? Is it really the best of classic Doctor Who? Because I would argue
Yep. Well, the audience.
I wasn't asking for audience participation. I was talking to the two men on stage. All right. I know there's no stage built here, so it feels as if we're all in this together. And in many ways we are, but we're not.
But feel free to rush the stage at the end towards your three monsters.
One of which is in the back.
Hold it.
Sorry. Carry on. Is it really the best?
That was the most uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is what happened there.
So I would argue it's not. It's not even a particularly like indicative example of what Doctor Who is.
What is
a bit? I think.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I thought it was quite a traditional.
Because I feel like sort of Robert Holmes and Eric Sayward as the script editor aren't really that interested in the Doctor and Perry for a lot of it. There's some really great moments for both of them. I mean, I think it's one of Peter Davison's standout best performances. Mm-hmm. Nicola Bryant's excellent. It's really refreshing to see a story where the Doctor gets, you know, beaten up. Maybe not like physically, but you know,
There's a scene in it where Shara's Jack just chops the Doctor.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most brutal.
Somebody laughed there, and I don't know why.
So it's just like, yeah, it's just there's
what's sexual about chopping? I don't know, but something is.
It was a disturbing image on screen. It was not sexual.
All right.
Do you wanna know some alternative casting for the case of Andrew's
Island? I'd love to.
Shara's Jack, Tim Curry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, the part itself involves being covered up completely.
Yeah. 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 So. And then even when you get to see the face, it's
nothing like the person.
Yeah. It's a bit fatter than the mask.
It's a lot fatter than the mask. It really confused me. I'm like, who's this guy? It's not the same guy, is it? It must be the same guy, but
so they've taken the mask off and then they've applied it.
Never fit in there.
Morgus, Ian Holm.
Oh, that would have been good.
My favourite one, Salatine, played by Robert Glenister. Mm-hmm. Great. Roger Daltrey from The Who.
Was that the first time? Because there was quite a few. I think we've discussed this on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Roger Daltrey from The Who just seemed to be constantly linked with roles in Doctor Who from the 80s. Purely so they could do the headline, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
I'm Roger Daltrey from The Who, and I might be in Doctor Who. That was the thing.
So it was going to be something Colin Baker. Was he? So it was going to be the mutant in Revelation of the Daleks.
Was that not going to be Laurence Olivier?
Yeah, but it was also going to be Roger Daltrey as well. Yeah. Was the chat there?
I think
Roger Daltrey was
well,
never done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was never. Has he?
And then was he not linked
actor?
With?
Tommy, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's like an adaptation of their kind of musical.
Aye, but he's been in The Bill and stuff.
Casual A.
Proof was needed.
But was he not meant to be the Doctor at one point as well? Like, you know, in those kind of those fallow years.
Was it
like
a new Doctor Who movie?
I mean,
the companion's already
the bear,
there, you know?
The bear.
Yeah, I was going to be the companion. That's what I'd be. That was John Nathan Turner's vision of Doctor Who.
Run!
That gag worked pretty well on audio.
You all know who Roger the Corsi is, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
There's always one.
Where else would you? What was your favourite scene?
Caves of Androzani.
Yeah.
My encounter with Nicola Bryant for the first time in 8 years. Because I never really gave
stop
her
giggling in the back.
Yeah, I know. Ross, who's the Caves of Androzani guy. Every time I meet him, ooh, Nicola Bryant's breasts, something amazing, you know. It's like,
Just every time you meet him.
He's a friend of mine called Ross.
What job does he have?
He works in the theatre, like all my friends do. Oh. You know, but he just seems to have this fascination with Nicola Bryant's breasts. But I thought she was amazing. I really did. Yeah. I haven't given her much credence before now because, you know, the Colin Baker years are not my years of Doctor Who at all, so I didn't really know much about her. Apart from an interview since and stuff like that, I haven't really sat down and watched her. And I just thought she was brilliant. I really did. And her and Peter,
the Fifth Doctor together. I loved it. So it's going to make me watch the whole of the Fifth Doctor. She's not in it.
No.
You know, I've only got Planet of Fire. But
she's quite good in that as well.
So I'll watch the Colin Baker ones as well. I just thought she was brilliant.
Okay. You'll be disappointed. Like I
guessed that, because I am aware slightly of her, and I thought I just saw her as this kind of whining.
So yeah, she's a strident.
I mean, the Doctor was a dick when he was the Sixth Doctor, you know. So I mean, she's got to react to that.
But this is what I want to argue about. We, I think, get a Doctor that is a direct response from this adventure. We got any Sixth Doctor fans in? Where does everyone sit with liking the Sixth Doctor? No?
A big thumbs down, is it, for the Sixth Doctor?
Susan?
Better in Big Finish.
Better in Big Finish, okay.
Excellent point, because that is very true.
So, I like Colin Baker, I like the Sixth Doctor, but I think what we get with The Caves of Androzani is an adventure which is the complete opposite of A Good Man Goes to War. I think we get, in Good Man Goes to War, some... Hello, welcome! You're just in time!
Am I?
No! There's literally nothing here for you.
Enjoy yourselves, guys.
Thank you. You enjoy yourself. Sorry,
that will be part of the podcast. Yeah. That will be part of the podcast. Yeah.
Sorry, that was my dad come to pick me up. I thought this was going to be worse for a Saturday night in Edinburgh with football in the summer. I thought there was going to be more fucking people coming.
We're the most disruptive ones here.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of little kids with fucking grandpa here.
I just want to give our listeners what they want.
Anyway, you make a very good point about it. So
Good Man Goes to War is a shit episode with a magic doctor and there's no consequences. This is about a very fallible, almost human doctor who gets constantly beaten, battered, and all he can do is stay ahead, just slightly ahead, of the sheer brutality that has been visited in a very small scale local conflict.
I didn't think it seemed like a regeneration story.
No. And it doesn't. Like, it absolutely doesn't. It seems like there is a start to the episode. And I don't know if this just is because a lot of 80s stories start with the Doctor and the TARDIS and the companions showing up, like, maybe 8 minutes into it. There's all the kind of the scene setting that goes on first, and this is about the Doctor shows up, the TARDIS, like in the 60s, it just materializes and then stuff happens.
Yeah, that's really refreshing for an 80s Doctor Who story, to just start on a bloody planet without
Well, no, but there was a scene recorded, I believe, watching the episode last night in the TARDIS before this happened.
And because it's a point that you've mentioned before in conversation, Mark, and I'd like to bring that up, in that there's a weird start to the episode where the Doctor seems to be resolutely pretending to be the Doctor, playing the Doctor. Yeah. He marches Perry out the TARDIS. Mm. There's an analysis of quite a boring, like, okay, we get it, there's some glass, it's a desert, and all that kind of stuff. He finds that immensely interesting.
Yeah, I think that was the moment I fell in love with Nicola.
Yeah, because she does as well.
Yeah.
And what it seems to me is that we have two stories previous to this where companions have have left in very kind of marked circumstances. Tegan is going, I'm done with this violence, and Turlough's kind of left, and he's found something that he was looking for, and he's completely dumped the Doctor for it. So the Doctor has, to this new companion, he's got a role to play, which is the act of being the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And he ultimately gets everyone in trouble, and he spends a lot of time trying to get that person out of trouble. To the point where he's willing to regenerate for her. Now, you've said this before about Big Finish.
Yeah, I mean, my issue with, well, not with this, because this is very good. You know, my whole kind of, it's not the best Doctor Who ever made, does not mean it's not a great story. But the problem I have with it, for me, the first time I ever watched it, I think I'd watched it after Planet of Fire. So you've got that thing where he's only just met this person, you know, and he's going through hell to make sure that she survives and that he can save her life, and that's a very doctorish thing to do. The problem I have is that in later years Big Finish had like invented this whole Fifth Doctor and Perry era
between Planet Fire
and Caves of Androzani, which I think cheapens it slightly. Yeah.
And there's an extra companion,
an Egyptian
goddess, Eremon.
Well, that will spoil
it kind of, it ruins it a bit, I think. And I mean, obviously, as Stuart aired, it's not official Doctor Who. So yes, you can absolutely just ignore that happens. But to me, I think it's one of those kind of things that Big Finish does, is they always try and plug these, like, if there's a tiniest crack in a Doctor Who story. They want to fill it with a, you know, a
the nephew
bar.
Of Peladins.
Yeah,
I got you. Well, there's a new audio. There's a new audio that's coming out, which is another story that's set within
A Christmas Carol.
A Dalek Master Plan.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, like, so obviously there's the Christmas episode, and like, but there's other episodes where they bounce around within that area, just avoiding the Daleks for 1,000 years.
And there's also, there's been quite a few of the 11th Doctor audios. You know, Matt Smith doesn't do any of them, but they got somebody impersonating him, or the Winston Churchill Chronicles, and it's like the 11th Doctor and Kaz Van Sardyk turn up at Winston Churchill's bunker and have fun, and it's like why?
Who's paid 15 quid for that?
Not us, sir.
Finished on my drink.
I've had another one on me.
Oh, mate, thank you.
It's like a good man goes to war all again. That's not the same, baby duck.
Mark, who's your favourite character, favourite scene?
Who's my favourite? I think Shara's Jack's great.
Yeah.
I think my favourite scene.
Christopher Gable!
Christopher Gable is Shara's Jack. I mean, it's, you know, it's the Phantom of the Opera. With a sort of subplot about the government getting involved in, well, I mean, it's not cocaine, it's, you know, it's this kind of secret, but there's a bit of that kind of the CIA getting involved with the drug cartel kind of subtext to it, which I think is great, actually. I mean, again, not very Doctor Who, but very good. So I think he's great, but I think my favourite scene is, I think it's the first time the Doctor and Perry go into Shara's Jack's lair, and Shara's Jack's doing this kind of creepy, oh, you're so beautiful.
Now that is creepy, villain fancying Perry.
Yeah. And the Doctor kind of sticks his head just between the two of them. Because,
yeah,
oh, nice
that's
to meet
right,
you. That's
I
really,
like that.
I love that
love
scene,
that
I think
scene.
It's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me too, me too.
Derek, yours?
Probably the opening scene, because I just thought, oh my god, Nicola Bryant can really act. I never realised.
Yeah.
Not because I thought she was shit before, just there was not a part of Doctor Who that I'd really looked at much.
So she becomes this kind of weird pantomime whinging.
That's a shame, because I think she's brilliant.
That spends a lot of time. It genuinely. So I can absolutely understand why Caves of Androzani is always at the top of the poll, and you always get the twin dilemma down the bottom.
But there's not one thing that we've reckoned on that is why is.
I have an idea what it could be. Is that I think Robert Holmes is a writer, is somebody who gets character and understands character and has been a script editor for Doctor Who. So he knows kind of how to write a believable companion, a likeable companion.
Yeah.
You think, who's it who writes The Twin Dilemma?
Anthony Stevens.
Right. So a new writer to Doctor Who,
yeah,
presumably with very heavy script editing from Eric Sayward,
yeah,
who is somebody, let's be very honest, is not somebody who...
There's a real Mark Donaldson coming out there. Let's lie our way through.
You are light. Welcome to be here.
That was a good one.
And he wasn't even
here. He wasn't even aye, but he's not somebody who's particularly interested in the TARDIS team, and I think he just writes these tropes like, oh, the Doctor's a flamboyant adventurer and his companion's a bit annoyed by him. So I think that's the difference. It's that, you know, you've got a very experienced set of hands writing the story and writing the characters.
So I wanted to talk about 80s Robert Holmes, but is this the place for it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Holmes.
He's right. No, I want to hear it.
He's talking about 80s Robert Holmes.
I just think that.
Where else is that?
I just think that, like, the Robert Holmes hasn't been a writer for Doctor Who to this point for 8 years, and then all of Robert Holmes's stuff after this point is like really violent and cynical.
Yeah.
It's like somebody where they've hired him back and went, but I hate Doctor Who, can I write that? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that or if it's just like, we really like all those, like, you know, when you wrote for Tom Baker and it was all that kind of very violent Hammer horror stuff, you know. And they go, and he's like, yeah, but there was lots of charming characters and really good lines of dialogue. Ah, we're not interested in that. Can you just give us like really, horrific violence?
No,
and, you know.
So
John Nathan Turner did not want Robert Holmes to be back in the show. You know?
Yeah.
So it was Eric.
Yeah, Sayward was a big.
Argued and argued for him to be part of the show.
Hello, welcome in. Are you here for the Doctor Who
pub quiz?
Yeah. Pub quiz. Okay. So we're just doing the end of the podcast.
Which involves a bit of quiz, hopefully.
Indulge him! I don't want him heckling through the pub quiz.
We'll be out of the bar.
Groovy and heckling.
Yeah. Three pissheads with a Tesco bag. Perfect. That's how you end the show.
We've done that.
But I know. Robert Holmes in the 80s, brutal, violent.
Are you here for the pub quiz? It's not on yet.
What are the questions?
No.
2 points. Fuck 2 points. But the answer is no. So you went wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was a spectacular mistake.
We should have locked the doors.
You can lock the doors.
I tell you what, new people, let's find out how much about Doctor Who you know, because we're gonna be looking at the Matt Smith classic, Let's Kill Hitler. But, ladies and gentlemen, not now. Shitty pub quiz happening. But what classic Doctor Who for episode 62 of On the Time Lash do we pair that up with? I have a number of suggestions here. And we're gonna, we're going to put it out to you to decide, ladies and gentlemen.
You want my own look behind it.
Ladies and gentlemen, because tiny shit happens, is it the invisible enemy? Let's hear a round of applause.
It is not the invisible enemy.
So you have to decide for yourself.
What is the next one? So, androids of Tara, because Robo doubles. Let's have a round of applause.
You're not alone.
It's the most popular one.
Or, do you know what? Let's Kill Hitler. It's the first time, finally, in Doctor Who, we've had fucking Hitler in Doctor Who. We all love Hitler here.
Finally.
Do we want the Dalek invasion of Earth?
Hey!
Have a bit of a chat.
I even got a boo!
Maybe just moving Hitler.
Sorry, my bees are shite.
So, give us a cheer if you want the invisible enemy. Give us a cheer if you want the androids of Tara. Give us a cheer if you'd like us to discuss the Dalek invasion of Earth.
Okay.
Then that is
our Nazi special. I should go down and start well in certain corners of America.
That's
or not.
Certain.
Not the corner, a bit in the middle. Right.
So,
enough time for a quick round of music?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of whatever this was. Now, let's have Deadsies!
Sorry.
It's time to give me some fucking
What time is that again, Mark?
What time is it?
Deadsies, where does it come, game?
Thank you very much indeed, supporters and friends. Okay, this is a music round. Are you able to play from over there?
Yes,
okay.
Shall I not play?
So what's the rules?
You have to play. You're playing against each other.
It's your time. Chance.
Track one, please. It's seven. Actually, good choice. Sorry, there's quick scuzzle.
I'm happy with this music playing in the background, it's fine.
You're locked in, it's this all night.
What's the question?
How high did this get in the UK charts? How high did this get in the UK charts?
What are you going to come
in? There's no clue on that. 1978, I believe.
1978?
Yeah, how high did it get in the charts?
12.
I'm going to go now. 20. I'm going to go top 20, but just to like 20.
20?
Yeah.
You put the mark. He's at 25. Track 3, please.
Track 3?
It doesn't need too long.
Well, we all know this one.
That's
the question. I'm going to be scared.
I'm not going to be healing. Okay, so that was Doctor in the TARDIS by the Time Lords, 1988. We obviously all know it got to number one. But what number did it reach in the official German top 100? I will only accept the answers in German.
No, that's not true.
But how high did it get in the German top 100? Doctor in the TARDIS.
Files fancy.
I did French at school.
In Germany, 12.
Okay.
I don't know, the Germans fucking love, like, you know, DJ Ossie and shit like that. I'm gonna go, like, number 5.
5. Ben gets a point because it only got to 28.
Oh, wow.
28.
Well, technically, it only got
28. I got a point. I just said it. I said 22 in German.
Okay, I'll give you a point.
So, you have one. Copy.
It's okay. You try.
Did you say 20 for the first one or 12?
12.
So it's 1-0. It's 1-0. Track 4, please. And we will be quick.
About my dears, won't keep you but a minute.
Okay, how what number did it peak in the UK charts?
What year?
1980.
12.
You say?
Sorry.
Hey, bad. 33. Well done. It's definitely 2-1. So we're gonna have to do two more, so it's not a draw. Song number 6.
Did you know it was to watch a pub quiz, not to take part?
I still want to know why this.
Turn it off! Blast it! What is this? This is not why I last
thought. Yeah,
this is
six.
A 12-inch remix! Well, nothing wrong with that! This is Atmosphere, right, by Russ Abbott. How many weeks in the UK chart did Atmosphere by Russ Abbott spend? And the reason it's here is it was engineered by Kev McCulloch.
Ah!
Oh, oh, yeah! One for the diehards! One for the diehards! Why did you put the 12 to 12?
What?
How many weeks did it spend in the chart, Mark?
21.
21. How many weeks did it spend? They held Atmosphere!
I turned right back out again!
I love a pun on you, man! Come on! Right, what did you say?
21!
21!
Jesus Christ!
21, how many weeks in the charts do you think that song spent in the UK?
7.
It was 13.
Here we go.
Oh, Daisy.
Well, this is going to be John Barrowman. John Barrowman doing what he does best, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right, Fred. Sorry. Okay, so this is Don't Fence Me In, sung by John Barrowman. How high did his J.B. Swing's Old Porter reach in the UK Jazz Billboard chart? How high?
UK Jazz.
Where did it come?
10.
You won a book, Ben, because it came in at number 19.
Yeah. Susan, do you have this book?
I don't have that.
Susan, do you want this book?
It seems yes, but it seems bad for me to take both.
No, it doesn't. Not to any of us.
Take it. Yours.
Well, I've done a right said Fred at the back. Do you want Doctor Who? Do you want this book? No, it's too sexy for that. You sure are. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well done, Susan.
Well,
that's me done.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was On the Time Lash Live, episode 61.
It was Derek Anderson!
Yay! Thank you very much. And our friend Lee at the back with the photography. I don't know what he's doing. Thank you very much to the audience members that have grown because of another event after this. But that's fine, that's fine. And of course, thank us. It's Mark and I.
That was fun, wasn't it? Hello, listeners. It's Mark here, speaking to you from the edit suite. still my room, still just my room. Just a few things that we didn't have time to say before we were sort of hustled out the door for a poorly scheduled pub quiz. Sorry, Des. Please follow us on Twitter at On The Timelash. Find us on Facebook. Visit the website www.onthetimelash.wordpress.com. I'm also writing a weekly column for the Big Blue Box podcast. So if you visit them, bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk, you can read some of those. We just like to thank Ash at the Edinburgh Geek and Nerd Festival for including us in this year's Who Fest. We'll be taking a short break now. I know you've only just got us back, but it's the summertime, and traditionally that's when things get busy, certainly for Ben, with the Fringe Festival. For me, I've kind of just moved away from Edinburgh again, so I'm kind of just getting things set up. But we should be back with our Let's Go Hitler, the Dalek Invasion of Earth episode, roughly September time, I would say. So we'll be able to keep you company for that last long run before Series 11 kicks off. So have a wonderful summer. Thank you so much for listening. Keep in touch. Yeah? Thanks. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Leave us a review on iTunes. The usual. Take care of yourself and each other's. Take care of yourselves and each other. That's the one. Bye.